All right, the Shedeur Sanders cut that we played of Max Crosby asking him his Mount... what? Hey, Shedeur, what's your Mount Rushmore of QB wide receiver duos? Duos, mind you, in NFL history. We have some cleanup on the timing of that interview. Let's play the cut again first for those who missed it. This is a Take-A-Mania candidate for tomorrow at 9 o'clock.
Mount Rushmore of quarterback and wide receiver duos all time.
So Tom and Gronk, of course. But he's a tight end.
I like that.
So Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, Chris Olave and Derek Carr.
That's a curveball. I was not expecting that either, but I like it.
Whoever going to be the quarterback for DK Metcalf and George Pickens, whoever that is.
Okay.
I love it.
Okay, so we had a few people point out, hey, Pickens and Metcalf aren't even on the same team anymore.
Right, which gives them a pass on the whoever's going to be the quarterback part, because obviously they were on the same team for a little while.
For a little bit.
And then Pickens goes off to Dallas. But at that point, Aaron Rodgers hadn't signed
yet. This interview took place on April the 22nd.
Yeah.
So this is before Shedeur had even been drafted. It was a week of the draft the interview took place. So he gets a pass. He gets a pass on Pickens and Metcalf being on the same team. They were when he did that interview.
Yeah.
He gets a pass on whoever wins the job in Pittsburgh. Factually, but it's a horrible take that somehow
it's a horrendous take when at that point it could have been Mason Crosby or something.
Mason Rudolph was the number one on the depth chart. Yeah, at that point,
apologies to Mason Crosby.
Yeah, at that point he was number one on the depth chart. It does not give him a pass for Chris Olave and Derek Carr being on his list, and it does not give him a pass for having a three-person answer to a question about duos.
And this is why I approve of it wholeheartedly. Yeah. Like once he got past Gronk and Brady, he really just Rodgers and Davante Adams is a defensible one,
yeah,
but still not nearly up into if you go to Joe Montana and Jerry Rice,
right,
or Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison or what have you. Yeah, yeah.
Or any
but remember,
number of-
like, it's hard to squeeze in, though. Like, where are you going to put Peyton and Montana when you also got to get Derek Carr in there?
It's a tough endeavor. It's true.
Yeah. That's Rushmores are difficult.
Yeah, I can't believe Max Crosby hit him with that very unfair question in that podcast, in that very loose podcast.
I do like in that whatever it was, symposium or whatever that they did with Peyton Manning and Eli Manning out there with Caleb Williams and CJ Stroud and Bryce Young.
Yeah.
CJ kind of alluded to some advice that Peyton had given him. It sounds like that he said something like, yeah, no lists or no power rankings. You know, that's been my advice to athletes forever. If somebody asks you a question, if they ask you to list or power rank or thing, anything, just don't do it.
Right.
And I feel like in a lot of ways, Shedeur Sanders, that's exactly what he did.
Yeah.
He made a mockery of the Mount Rushmore.
And that's going to bother some people. Not Seth or me so
un-American is what it is.
Yeah, that's true.
You defile one of our national monuments.
Big monuments.
When you should be gracing it with the names of actually great quarterbacks and wide receivers.
That's right. Shedeur. That's why you fell to the fifth round of the draft. Besmirching national treasures like Mount Rushmore. Jeez.
He didn't honor Max Crosby's question.
Yep.
I actually wouldn't be all that surprised if that did show up or something. An anonymous talent evaluator was not a fan of the way Shedeur Sanders answered a Mount Rushmore question.
It's a better than 50-50 chance. Honestly, it feels like there's a better than 50-50 chance that it wound up on at least one scout's rundown of Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, like, what's up with this guy?
At least one.
Doesn't respect the game or something.
There's all types out there.
Are you more impressed that he pulled Chris Olave or Derek Carr out of the hat on that one?
I'm impressed.
Olave's been in the league for 3 years.
Yeah.
2 years, right? Because he was injured. And he's had I don't know if he's had over 1,100 yards receiving in any of those years.
Major concussion issues, I know that.
It's not like Derek Carr and Chris Olave have even had one singular awesome, crazy season or anything.
I don't know that they've had an awesome, crazy play. You know, like what's your most vivid Derek Carr, Chris Olave memory. You're like, what?
Fascinating to me. I'm so fascinated by this answer.
Yeah.
Everything makes sense now. And I'm a huge fan of Shedeur Sanders. I don't know how his brain works or what he was thinking in that moment, but the confidence with which he did it, that's a rare trait right there.
That's
Sean.
The bravado. Yes. That's the bravado. All right. So we played this yesterday, but you might not have gotten a chance to hear it. And I'm curious if this has ever happened to anybody before where you see one name, you think it's somebody, but it's some other person of the same name. This was Dabo Swinney, Clemson head coach, talking about a trip he made to the beach with his family. And he was told, going to this particular beach town, that Brian Kelly's wife runs a gift shop in this town. Now, Brian Kelly, LSU head coach.
Brian Kelly, the football coach.
Well, that's what Dabo Swinney thought. Brian Kelly, the football coach. That's the Brian Kelly he knows. That's who he thought it was. Take a listen to this.
My brother or my sister-in-law, she's saying, hey, Brian Kelly has a place. His wife has a gift shop right on the corner there in Grayton Beach. I'm like, oh, really? That's pretty cool. You know, I had no idea. So anyway, we go there and I go into the store. Me and Kath walking in the store. Kath buys something because she's trying to support Mrs. Kelly or whatever we're doing. So she buys something and we go in the store and I'm walking around. I go out and they're like, yeah. And he's got a concert. He's going to have a concert in the back. So I'm like, okay, I'll walk out the back. There's a little stage in the back and there's like some, I think it's like fake grass or whatever. Look, just a small little area. And it says Brian Kelly, you know, performing live on this day, whatever. And I'm going, freaking hey, Brian Kelly can sing, play. I didn't know that. So I'm like taking pictures, and I'm sending it to Brian Kelly. I'm sending all these pictures to Brian Kelly. And then I get on the stage, you know, Brian Kelly, you know, I'm just kind of having some fun. I'm like, you know, hey, I got, and I sent all this to Brian Kelly. All right. Well, then the guy that was with my brother, he's walking over because Cass said something about, I don't know what she said. I just can't believe that Brian Kelly, this is really cool. And she's, and you know, like, we know we played them or something in the opener or whatever to the guy. And he's like, what? And as it turns out, there's another Brian Kelly. And he's like, what's the band? Anybody know? Something Florida Georgia Line or something. I think it's called Florida Georgia Line or Georgia Florida Line Band. Florida Georgia Line Band, and he's like a lead singer or something. And I've even heard their songs, but I don't know all these people's names. But I have no clue. Kath goes, babe, it's Brian Kelly. He's a singer with Florida Georgia Line, and I went, what? I've been fired all these pictures off to Brian Kelly.
I'm glad Dabo told this story because Dabo, you and I interviewed him a few years ago. I think it was like during COVID, or shortly thereafter when the Bear Bryant Award. We were partnered as a station with the Bear Bryant Award, and that was back when Dabo. That, you know what it was? It was right around the time Deshaun. It was in 2021 because he made a comment to you and I about Deshaun. Like what suggestions would you have for the Texans? And it was before all the lawsuits came out. But after Deshaun had demanded a trade, and so he made a comment about that. And in the last couple of years, Dabo has slid down my list of people I like a little bit just because of how indignant he's been about NIL and the transfer portal, and he's insistent on not taking any transfer. Like, he is somebody who is clearly, like, railing against the changes in the world going on around him right now, and he sounds a little out of touch. I like that he told that story. He's back on my good list, Seth.
When we did that story, he was on his, it was via Zoom, or when he did that interview with us, he was via Zoom, and we were trying to figure out, because, you know, when a guy's got a name like Dabo, you don't know for sure, like, okay, how do you get a name like Dabo? And underneath him was a different name than Dabo on the Zoom call that we were on with him. And it turns out he didn't know how to set up a Zoom. So he was on his son's Zoom account.
I love that.
And
that's on brand.
I'm just thinking about him going through that gift shop, and I'm on the Brian Kelly merch website, the singer.
Singer.
And I'm just wondering if Dabo saw this t-shirt that says, getting bass, hauling ass. And it's got a picture of a pickup truck spinning out. I wonder if he thought that was an official Brian Kelly, the football coach t-shirt.
We know
getting bass and hauling ass.
Brian Kelly is not afraid to be phony, to suck up. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I just like to go out and getting bass and hauling ass. That's how I spend my weekend.
Two things I like to do, getting bass and hauling ass. I need Captain Mickey to say that on the outdoor show at some point.
What was your equivalent?
Oh, so back when John Harris and I, he was my first, John Harris, Texan sideline reporter. We were each other's first radio co-host. This was our second week as a duo. This is our second week on the air. This is back in 2007. And when we first started, we wanted to do a segment every Friday where we interviewed kind of a, we wouldn't tell them this when we booked them, but sort of like B and C list actors and bring them on and talk. The first week, we had Corey Haim on, RIP. Corey Haim of Lost Boys and the two Coreys and some of those things. He was massively coked up for this interview. And at the end of the interview told us, this isn't the story, but at the end of the interview told John Harris and I that we were the best interviewers he's ever talked to. And we said, well, that's funny because we've been doing this for 5 days. So thank you very much.
Yeah, you're riding high. That was a good start by you,
The next week... And it was David Nuño who booked this, actually. David Nuño, who's with TexAgs now, was on Channel 13 for a while, and he was a coworker of ours. He did the midday show, but he also helped us book guests and things like that. He chipped in. And the next week, he booked Willie Ames. You remember who Willie Ames is? Willie Ames, Eight is Enough, Charles in Charge, Bible. He was Bible Man. He was Tommy on Eight is Enough.
He was Charles' sidekick, right?
Yeah, Buddy Lembeck.
Charles in Charge. He was the
dopey
best
sidekick.
Friend or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So Nuño books Willie Ames. I'm like, well, this is perfect. This is exactly what we're looking for this segment. Books him on like a Tuesday. Thursday, Nuño comes walking into this office that me and John Harris and Lance Zierlein all shared together. Actually, Lance wasn't even there yet. It was me and John Harris. And Nuño walks in like somebody just, you know, like somebody killed his dog. And he goes, guys, I got really bad news. We said, what is it? He said, I booked the wrong Willie Ames. I'm like, well, hang on a second. There's more than one Willie Ames? He said, yeah. Well, Willie Ames, the more famous one, spells his last name A-A-M-E-S. Mm-hmm. Nuño booked a Willie Ames whose last name was spelled A-M-E-S, and he was, and maybe still is, a banjo player in San Diego.
Oh, wow.
A banjo player in San Diego, Nuño books.
A notable banjo player, at least?
No. Are there any notable banjo players? Yeah.
Steve Martin, I think that's about it.
Yeah.
No. Listen, I'm sorry, bluegrass people. Like, that's the only banjo player I'm...
Plays local gigs out in San Diego, probably in the gas lamp district there or whatever. So Nuño's, like, leaving the room. He's like, well, I guess I'll just go cancel. And I'm like, whoa. No. We are going to interview this Willie Ames... as if he were the actual Willie Ames that we booked and just see where it goes, you know?
Yeah.
So Willie Ames, we confirm with the banjo pick, Willie Ames. He comes on the air, you know, he calls in on the hotline, comes on the air. The control room, you know, the room Ben's sitting in here, had at least 7 or 8 people in there, all betting on how long he would stay on with us.
Yeah.
Because we acted like he was the Willie Ames.
Did you ask some actual, like eight is enough
questions?
Willie Ames stuff. Yeah.
Yes. This guy hung on for that interview, Seth.
Oh.
For like 7 minutes. He's like, well, no, that's not really, I'm not that Willie Ames. And we were just ignoring his answers.
And you just acted like you weren't hearing him.
Right to the next question. Yeah. And this guy, he figured it out after about, after about 6 minutes, he figures out like he is the victim of a prank here. He started screaming out his MySpace page and telling the audience how fraudulent me and John Harris were. He's like, these guys don't know. These guys are wrong. I'm not that Willie Ames. MySpace.com/Willie Ames with one A. Like, he's screaming it out while John and I... Like John Harris is going, was it really tempting, you know, to maybe get with some of your sisters on that show on Eight is Enough in the same house?
I'll tell you what, I feel bad for Willie Ames.
Why?
I'm gonna buy one of his albums.
Is he still out there?
His MySpace is still up. I just went to his Facebook page.
Oh my God.
And the first link, he's got his list of links. He's got a MySpace.
I told you.
I'm on his MySpace, the one that he promoted on your show right now as we speak. I hope this doesn't put me on some kind of watch list now that I'm a 50-year-old man on MySpace. Yeah. But there's other. He hasn't kept up with his MySpace.
Yeah.
But he does have a Facebook.
Yeah, that
Poor Willie Ames.
Yeah, man. It was fun. I still have I'll send you the audio of it. I've still got the audio of that interview. I'll send it to you. I forwarded it to people. It's almost 20 years ago now. This is in August of 2007.
Did you ever get to talk to the real Willie Ames?
We never did. Ames? We never were able to secure him. No.
He's interesting. He kept working past. Really, I mean, there was an 8 Is Enough reunion because he was on 8 Is Enough as a child. But like, really, he kept working up until 2020, as far as I can tell on Wikipedia. But his last, really, like the last 5 things he did were Hallmark TV movies.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing he was playing like either a silver fox or just a dad of some sort on
Hallmark TV.
A lot of Hallmark TVs is like. Families are on the 30-year marriage about to break up or something, but then they figure it out at the end.
I'm going to go divorced dad on a Hallmark movie, you know, who's trying to redeem himself in the eyes of his children. That's what I'm going to go
with. Which one of these would you watch?
Yeah.
Harvest Moon, Dater's Handbook.
Okay, so far
Every Christmas Has a Story. A little Brock Osweiler action right there.
Confession. I kind of like the Hallmark Christmas movies. I like that one. Okay.
2019's getting me a little intrigued. Love on the Menu.
Oh.
So clearly he plays a chef or a waiter or something like that.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, who falls in love with somebody. And then Picture Perfect Mysteries, Exit Stage Death.
Not that one. That sounds sad. I don't need that in my life.
I think you have to watch Every Christmas Has a Story because it was 2016 as well.
Wow.
So right when would it surprise you at all if Brock Osweiler had watched the movie Every Christmas Has a Story and then thought, you know what? I could say the same thing about Interceptions.
No, because that Green Bay game after he said it was in December. It was during the Christmas holiday season. That wouldn't shock me at all. Yeah,
that son of a bitch watches Hallmark movies.
Stole from Willie Ames. He stuck at that. Oh, I was about to curse. I'm that mad at him stealing from Willie Ames. Okay, we're up against it. We actually have an explanation, a good one, on the Shedeur Sanders take.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we've got a good explanation on that one that we'll get to. And also, John Smoltz had a take about generational pitchers. He dropped a name in that you and I both love. But I don't think he's generational. But I would take him back on the Astros, and he may make his way back to the Astros. We'll explain. Ooh. We'll tell you who it is coming up next.